Mad Radio, Lance McCullers will join us 2 hours from now at 8:20 in his weekly segment brought to you by Trailer Wheel and Frame and PDQ as well. Paul Gallant has joined the show on Tuesday, so we look forward to that. Andre Iguodala, Klay Thompson are questionable for Game 5 tonight at home.
I want to mention one thing real quick. Yes. I'm going to mention this a few times over the next couple days just because Grazia Italian Kitchen in Pearland is having a taco drive 6:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. 100% of the sales are going to go to help out the Santa Fe community. And Grazia does a really good job with this before. They've raised like over $40,000 the last time they did this. And I think they're going to get a really good response. So 6:30 to 10 a.m. at Grazia Italian Kitchen in Pearland. Don't ask me why they're doing a taco drive. They make really good food, okay? It's an Italian kitchen making Italian tacos. I don't give a damn. Just go out and eat some tacos with me.
And you had
I'm going to try to eat as many tacos as possible to help out the Santa Fe community.
Because you had dinner there with Wade Smith and some people a few months ago.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. And they're, we worked with them for a few charities to help things out. Because we're also, I think we're, is that where we're having dinner? I think I'm having dinner there with Sean Pendergast and Wade in a few weeks for one of our other charities.
I believe we are,
give and give and give and give.
Yes.
And it's pretty cool. Like, the ownership and management there is really committed to the community.
So Grazia Italian Kitchen in Pearland, that is going to be Saturday, 6 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. with all the proceeds going to recovery efforts for Santa Fe High School. Looking at Game 5 tonight. And by the way, I think the Rockets are also doing a lot of stuff for people in Santa Fe, getting tickets and shirts and all that kind of stuff.
A lot of the, they're going to bring kids to the game, I think. Which is just a really just a bringing
great gesture.
Yeah, and the Astros obviously have been doing things. The SaberCats have a bunch of stuff going on at their game this weekend. And not to mention, you see so many different pictures on social media of kids selling T-shirts in support of Santa Fe. So really, if there's one thing we've learned about Houston in the last year, for an incredibly large city, it has a remarkable ability to kind of pull together.
Yes.
So good job, everybody.
And help each other out. So from a basketball standpoint, so Iguodala's questionable, Klay Thompson's questionable. It sounds like both guys are going to play in this game. Steve Kerr mentioned that Klay Thompson was moving around pretty well, and he should be fine to go in the game. But it is notable that he is listed as questionable. And you always wonder with these playoff injuries, like what's the real deal with this stuff?
What's the standard?
Yeah, well just like, because sometimes you might end the postseason and then you'll start to really hear about exactly how hurt these guys were. So I'm just curious to see how these guys look. I mean, Reggie Miller pointed out, you could see it in Game 4. Once Klay went down, he came back in the game, you could see him grimacing, and he clearly was not 100%. And I do think to win this kind of series, you need some little breaks here and there. Maybe a major break at some point. You need this little stuff to happen for you to have a great chance to win.
I'd really love to say that, hey, Klay Thompson isn't tough or something. You know, he's got that. You know how I feel about Klay Thompson. There's
punchable
just something
face
about him that drives me nuts. But like, he played through that ear bleeding concussion a few years back. He's a tough enough guy.
That's right, against the Rockets.
So for him to leave the game, I think there was something to it. And it clearly affected him, but he was tough enough to get his way back into form as the game went on. I think that it's impossible for Steve Kerr to really watch Klay Thompson on a 48-hour turnaround in whatever minimal practice they do on that day off, on a 48-hour turnaround when they're going on the road, for him to really know how Klay Thompson's going to perform in the game. So he might be feeling good, and he might be running around, and his shot might be all right, and it looks fine on layups. We'll see, hopefully within the first quarter or two, just how hard he can go.
I mean, it gives you, those are two of Golden State's best defenders. I think Durant, when he's like really engaged, is probably their best defenders because, I mean, he's 7 feet tall, and those guys aren't. But it gives the Rockets.
You're saying Durant's better than Draymond?
Now that you mention it.
Okay, because if you're going to put Durant, that's three defenders you have to talk about.
There's so many great defenders. Why? This is not fair.
Well, and
I think that Durant,
Draymond has that
close
free safety quality to him, where he just kind of, he directs traffic, he anticipates things. He's just got to.
He's a genius defensively.
He's that kind of guy that I'm sure all the advanced stats show that, independent of blocks and everything, he affects things at the rim.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, what I was going to say was these two injuries gives the Rockets a chance to really attack these guys early.
Yeah.
Attack these guys early in the game and kind of test them out and see. Whereas in a normal game going against the Warriors, you're not thinking to yourself, well, we're going to attack Klay Thompson and Andre Iguodala. That's not like a thing that you would do. So it gives you a few different options offensively tonight. I don't know what your gut feeling was when you woke up this morning. when I woke up this morning, I'm starting to get a little bit of a feel of like that good Astros playoff exhaustion.
Are you?
Yeah, a little
bit.
Oh,
that good feeling of like, man, you've been on edge for so long.
Yes.
That's where I, you know,
you're investing all your emotions into these games.
The Astros retrained me to feel a certain way about a playoff game, because before game four, I had that, I think previously it might have been like almost a dreadful anticipation of game four. I had that really good uncomfortable feeling. It's like the sports equivalent of pushing on a loose tooth. You know that pain that you get when you push on a loose tooth?
And finally
you
get relief.
Do you remember how good that feels? Is that universal? Does everybody feel that way, that was a good pain?
I don't know if anything's universal. I'm with you on that. Yeah, it's kind of, it's a weird pleasant pain in a way.
Edward Gilyard, did you have that? You remember that feeling from
your
youth?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, pushing on a loose tooth. Mm-hmm. It's a good feel. That's how I felt. I felt like I was pushing on a loose tooth all day long, just in this eager anticipation of game four. And even through the third quarter, partly because of what the Rockets are capable of doing, and partly because I've already seen once this season the Rockets come back in the fourth quarter versus the Warriors, I wasn't as done in by the Warriors surge in the third quarter. I think the Warriors themselves felt like, hell, here's what we do. We take care of you in the third quarter, and there we go.
I wish I could say that.
Yeah.
But when Clay was draining all those threes, I'm like, oh my God, they've had such a great effort and they're going to lose this game, because what the hell do you do against these guys? Curry's just going to throw in a bunch of daggers, and that's like all she wrote.
You know what? And again, I don't think you can overstate this, and this isn't just some soft sports take or something. I think seeing James Harden put out defensively in the fourth quarter with an energy level that, you know, I'm not even going to say like, hey, good for James Harden. That was just really good energy.
Period.
Like, he was a scrappy player in the fourth quarter. And I don't care about whichever lapses he had. I don't care the fact that there was a moving screen that cleared up Steph Curry at the end. It's just he put out there, and I think that sets the tone for a lot of people. And then also, I can't get over the hypocrisy of people who were wondering how it was going to work between two ball dominant guards back 9 months ago when they signed Chris Paul, when they got Chris Paul. Those same people saying like, well, Harden disappeared in the fourth quarter. Harden disappeared in the fourth quarter. Like, no, you got the exact same thing. And we've gotten this. We got this in the Utah series. You get a guy like Chris Paul and a guy like James Harden because nobody ever has four great quarters every single night in a playoff series. To wit, Steph Curry in the fourth quarter was miserable offensively.
Well, how about to wit LeBron James last night, who did not have a good game and who was obviously exhausted, and he could have used a second star. He did not have one last night, and the Cavs went down big.
So you criticize the Rockets for bringing on two ball-dominant guards a year ago when they get Chris Paul, and then when they prove you wrong, you somehow turn that into a criticism too. Like, I'm sick of it. I'm done with it. I'm also sick and done with people acting like the Warriors are an unstoppable force, but then in the next breath using Andre Iguodala as an excuse.
They have no excuse. Like
could
that.
It
no,
could it be
no.
that the Rockets are actually pretty good? You know, could if the super team of all super teams can't suffer the loss of Andre Iguodala, could you perhaps maybe give the Rockets a little bit of credit? That's a super team of all super teams.